Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation. You can jump in with us at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, or go on michaelsavage.com. You saw the State of the Union last night. Oh, wait, no, you didn't. You had something better to do. I know it was time to rearrange the sock drawer. It was time to hot oil condition your hair, and men, don't let that go more than 3 days, okay? I'm just saying. And you had other things to do. That's why I'm here for you. I suffered through it. I deserve a pay raise. Hazard pay. It really is getting tough to take, isn't it? I mean, really, I had a very difficult time. I had to hide all the heavy objects that could destroy my flat screen because I did pay a lot for that. And it was very difficult, but we suffered through it. We've got the audio low lights. We're going to hit those for you in just a little bit. President Obama telling you, hey, listen, climate change is real. It's a fact. The debate is over. I was waiting for Al Gore to show up, but there was no room for him. These chairs are kind of small in the State of the Union. It's not really very conducive to people who are, shall we say, dyadically challenged. Not politically correct. So we'll talk about that. We also got him telling you he's going to go around Congress again. What a shocker. And, of course, Congress will do nothing. The thing is, will America do anything? See, here's the thing. I mean, the way the founder set this up with checks and balances, part of it was you. Part of it was me. And if we don't care enough that they're abusing the Constitution, shredding it and treating it like toilet paper, then nothing stops them. I mean, that's part of the deal. We have to step in. And we don't seem to care. A majority of America doesn't seem to care. So we'll hit that. Then, 25 after the hour here, one representative actually says that the Tea Party justifies President Obama violating his oath to uphold the Constitution. Well, you know, I mean, hey, ends justify the means. Wait, is that what I mean? At the bottom of the hour, have you noticed that in San Francisco they're crazy? Not all of them, but they're now talking about giving away free crack pipes. Hey, that could increase tourism. And then, before the hour's out, I've got this scientific justification for you. I mean, I have gold for you if you're like me and you like to take naps. Scientific justification. It's all coming up this hour of The Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Dr. Savage. It's 855-400-SAVAGE to get in, 855-400-SAVAGE, or michaelsavage.com. I don't understand why we even have a State of the Union anymore. I mean, really, I know this is for some people. Oh, the pageantry. Oh, it's great to see in this fine nation that we can all get together and unify around watching the president tell us how he's going to come up with 100 new programs to do things we should be doing for ourselves. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. It expands the government beyond what it was ever supposed to be, but isn't it great to watch the president walk in like a rock star? Isn't it great to see grown men and women, congressmen and congresswomen, fighting to get a seat on the aisle so they can get some TV FaceTime and maybe do a selfie with them and the president and put it up on their Twitter page? I mean, you know, hey, this is what America's all about. We fought a war to get rid of royalty, and we have created royalty. Our royalty, our politicians, and our celebrities. We've seen what it's done to Justin Bieber. How long before it happens to President Obama? Oh, it's already happened. I mean, look what he does. His wife has a party, and they've got the A-list from Hollywood in. How much did that cost us? They won't tell you. No, he brings in all the stars from the NBA to have a little shoot-around. The guy is Justin Bieber. Pretty soon, he's going to take the presidential limousine, have the Secret Service block off the street, and maybe do some drag racing with Joe Biden. Did you see Joe Biden during this thing? That was the most fun. The most fun of the night was watching Joe Biden. This is the guy that if you have him over to your house, you have to watch your wife because he's going to do something. I mean, you it really is. He's doing the little wink, the little nod. You know, there was one point in the thing where he actually, and I think Gawker has the gif up on it, where he's actually looking at somebody off to the side, winks at him and does the little pistol thing at him, like, hey, man, see ya. Yeah. Hey, golfing tomorrow. Well, all right. That's good. He was, my 14-year-old daughter came down and said, is the vice president texting? He kept looking down. He was doing something. I don't know what it was. He pulled a pen out of his pocket. He had a piece of paper that was folded up. He was winking. He was nodding. He was having a ball back there. You know, so you got Biden on one side doing that. And you got Speaker Boehner. And I don't understand the tan. Somebody can, and look, I know everybody talks about it, but at some point, doesn't he have to explain it? I mean, is this some kind of a skin condition? Remember how Michael Jackson said he had to make himself white because he had splotches? Maybe Boehner has something like that and he has to make himself orange. There's got to be something going on there that I don't know about, but it's very distracting. Best line of the night to show that he actually cared about people. I loved how President Obama was saying, you know, this is a country where the Speaker of the House can, you know, the son of a barkeep can grow up to be Speaker of the House. That's a great line. And everybody went nuts. It's a country where somebody from a single mother can end up being the President of the United States of America. That's a great line. So if all that's true, then why is it that we need all these new big government programs to help people, you know, live their lives? Why is it? What, somebody's got to explain that. I don't understand that. I was like, wait a second. And here's a president, by the way, growing up in the 60s and the 70s, who was biracial. Wait, he's the first black president. Well, he's, let me do what the AP did with George Zimmerman. Remember George Zimmerman? He had an Hispanic, be the first president to identify as black, although that leaves out Bill Clinton. So I don't, it's getting complicated. So this is what we had going on there last night. We had the bread and circuses of the Roman Empire with our new royalty coming through. We had President Obama telling you that he is going to do whatever he needs to do to go around this awful Congress that is just not allowing him to do what he wants to do. The hell with the Constitution. He got angry, pointing his finger, blaming Congress. Nothing is his fault. Same old stuff we've heard for 5 years. Still everybody else's fault. But then he told us how great everything's been under him. But then we need all these new programs to make it even better. You can't even really keep up with it logically. So we're going to get into all that today on the program, and I want your thoughts on it as well. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, get you in. Let's start with some of these crazy ones that just, I mean, you really got to stop down and explain these. And it was one of these things where I had to keep pausing the DVR to explain it to my daughter. And I really wish that we could do this to America, because I think too many people who really aren't paying that much attention buy the stuff, hook, line, and sinker. And you know who I'm talking about. Some of the people that you know, some of your friends, when you talk to them about it, and they go, wasn't that a great speech last night? I thought the president cares so much. He wants to give people more money. I mean, that is just nice. Who could disagree with that? You say, well, whose money? And where is it going to come from? And what is it going to do to business? How are people? Well, you just, why are you so mean? Why don't you understand? So let's start with climate change. This is cut 16 from President Obama last night, letting you know if you don't agree with him, you're pretty much just stupid.
Climate change is a fact. And when our children's children look us in the eye and ask if we did all we could to leave them a safer, more stable world with new sources of energy, I want us to be able to say, yes, we did.
Yes, we did. And yes, we could. And yes, we cannabis. Well, okay, here's the thing. First of all, of course climate change is a fact. Everybody agrees climate change is a fact, because climate change means that our climate is changing. And our climate is changing all the time. Our climate has never stayed the same. Our climate has changed since the dawn of time, and it will continue to change until there is no more time on Earth. Climate change is a fact, but that's not what he means. You know what he really means. He's trying to say man-made global warming is a fact. But he knows you can't call it that anymore. Why don't we call it man-made global warming anymore? Well, because the planet hasn't warmed in 16 going on 17 years. That might be one of the reasons. But no, it's a fact, right? And while he's saying this, the Arctic blast stuns the South. Atlanta drivers abandon cars. People sleeping in grocery stores. 18-hour commute. Snow in Florida. The chill map showing all across the deep south. While he's saying that, that's what's going on. Greg, weather is not climate. I agree. So why is it that every time we have a sunny day, we're told it's climate change? Every time there's a tornado, it's climate change. Every time there's a hurricane, there's climate change. Every time it's a drought, it's climate change. But every time there's snow, that's just the weather. Every time it's cold, that's just the weather. The Arctic ice is growing, that's just the weather. Polar bear numbers are increasing, that's just the weather. That's just the weather. But everything else is climate, right? But here's the real, you know, over at Climate Depot, they put it really well. They said, no, wait a second here. It's now career-threatening for any government scientist to produce any evidence to the contrary of man-made global warming. The president has spoken. It's the same thing Interior Secretary Sally Jewell said a while ago. I hope there are no climate change deniers in the Department of Interior. The message is out there. Shut up if you have any evidence to the contrary. Shut up. We don't want to hear it. The Wall Street Journal had this on their blog. Said, you know, it's interesting because the president announces this right where climate scientists are struggling to account for the almost total absence of global warming over the past 16 years. No, it is. It's a total absence. Climate scientists having to account for greater natural variability and other mitigating factors as they seek to explain why increasing CO2 concentrations have not led to higher average temperatures. Huh. What? Well, how dare you even talk about it? I mean, it's closed. It's over. Then we have the What's Up With That blog. Anthony Watts, climate skeptic. He runs it. He had a great point. He said, look, this is the 17th year with no pausing. And there's never been any assertion that climate didn't change. The idea that somehow this is something new to the 21st century is what's absurd. As science itself has demonstrated through history, it is never settled. Always searching for new information, resting, and sometimes discarding old ideas. Why is President Obama anti-science? Why is he anti-science? Saying the science is settled. This is the quote from, you know, What's Up With That? Is similar to the quote that Lord Kelvin said in 1900. 1900, quote, there is nothing new to be discovered in physics now. All that remains is more and more precise measurement. See, that's the kind of stuff that idiots say. But, hey, the president, it's over. Climate change, it shows that it's all done. Nothing at all to worry about. You know what? Nancy Pelosi, let's hear cut six from Nancy Pelosi, where she's talking about the problem with the Republicans. It kind of ties into this whole science thing.
Let's remember where we were and how far we have come from the Bush economic policies. We have a large segment of the Republican Party that is anti-government. We don't want any more government than we need, mm-hmm. but they're anti-government, anti-science, and anti-Obama. They have a trifecta.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, anti-government. No, anti-humongous government. Anti-government that's not in the Constitution. Actually, that's what conservatives are. I don't know about these Republicans. They seem fine with big government. Look what happened when they had Bush, and they had the House, and they had the Senate. They made government bigger, and they spent more, and they increased our debt. So I don't think the Republicans are anti-government. I don't know what she's talking about. The Tea Party Republicans are anti-big government. And she says anti-science. Who's the one that was anti-science? Saying the science is settled on something that there's no way it's settled? Saying that the Keystone XL pipeline is dangerous when his own State Department said it isn't? Saying that CO2 is a pollutant when it's what we breathe out and plants breathe in? Who's anti-science? And anti-Obama? No, we're not anti-Obama. I speak for Republicans, but conservatives, we're not anti-Obama. We're anti-Obama policies because his policies suck. I think that's a pretty good reason to be anti that. And you know what? That's what these people who were elected to be for conservative ideas are supposed to be. They're supposed to be against the things that they told their constituents they were against. That's part of the deal. All right, what about President Obama going around Congress? We're going to get to that in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN. The only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
America, does not stand still, and neither will I. So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation to expand opportunity for more American families, that's what I'm going to do.
You know what is the worst thing about what Obama was saying there last night? As he's been saying time and time again that he's going to go around Congress with the pen. Half of Congress was applauding him. Think about that for a second. I mean, really, the way the Constitution is set up with the balance of powers, to have this guy say he's just going to go around him, and to have half of Congress applaud that. Wow. It's just unbelievable. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me start with Dave, WBAP. Dave, how you doing?
Oh, not so good.
Uh-oh. Is it the corns acting up again? I'm sorry, go right ahead.
You know, I listened to that snake oil salesman. I'm military retired, 30 years. I served in the Navy, Marine Corps, and the Army National Guard.
Wow. Now,
these people are now reneging on all of these servicemen that put their life on the line and put themselves in service. I already got a notice saying that I'm being cut back on my military retirement check.
Right.
And now he wants to give these people, these civil servants that are his army, a raise to $10.10 an hour? How about giving it back to the servicemen that serve their country? You know, this snake oil salesman, I remember him when I used to live in Brooklyn. We used to have them on the corner shouting all kinds of platitudes and have nothing to back it up. This guy, he irritates the hell out of me.
I can tell, Dave. Hey, thanks for getting on, and thanks for your service. And I can understand your frustration that you're seeing your retirement cut, and the federal contractors will say 10-10 is the least you can pay. We'll get into that today for sure. But you got to hear what John Podesta said about this executive order stuff for President Obama and the San Francisco crack pipes. It's coming up. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We're going to get into the free crack pipes in just a second, and I know you want to be around for that. He's giving away free crack pipes! We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, we're talking about President Obama going around Congress. And he's been doing it for a very long time. We've got Ted Cruz has a great piece out in the Wall Street Journal today talking about the imperial presidency of Barack Obama. For him wantonly ignoring federal law, you know, he decided, I'm not going to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act. I'm not going to enforce our drug laws. I'm not going to enforce our immigration laws. Of course, he took an oath to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. I'm going to rewrite some of these. I'm going to do it on my own. Because, you know, Congress just won't do anything. So some people have been a little upset about it. These people that actually like the Constitution and think it matters. But not too many, because Congress keeps saying, what can we do? We're only one half of one third of the government. That's all we control. We just can't do anything. Well, you know, you could actually try to stop him by rallying the people, maybe suing him if you find people who can have standing in court, like has happened with the recess appointments to the Senate, where Obama's losing, with some of the orders to the immigration and customs people to not enforce the law. Chris Kobach, Secretary of State in Kansas, is helping them sue, and they're winning in court. You could impeach him if he's violating those. Impeach? That's so silly. There's nothing with that. Would be ridiculous. And the Senate wouldn't convict anyway. Well, but it might actually get America to start paying attention. So then we get John Podesta, big-time White House advisor. He's on NPR. And the NPR reporter is trying to figure out what's going on here with all this executive action, because even some liberals think maybe he's going too far. So the NPR guy says, well, what about Obama going around Congress? Here's Podesta cut one.
If he believes, and Justice Department believes he has authority to make progress to strengthen the middle class, give people opportunity in this country, he will take it.
But he doesn't like to do this, does he?
I think he's warmed up to it, and I think you'll see that across a wide range of topics, including retirement security, moving forward on his climate change and energy transformation agenda.
He says there's a lot he has authority to do. Don't you love that? The NPR guy is even trying to help him out. But Obama doesn't like to do that, right? I mean, he's reluctant to. No, actually, he's warmed up to it. Oh, yeah. He thinks he has the right to go right ahead and do it. And America's not stopping him. Really? Right? 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. And you are in. And here's my personal favorite on that. Okay? This is from Representative Steve Israel, Democrat, New York. It's cut 21, and he explains why the Democrats are behind Obama 100% when it comes to him using his pen to go around Congress. Listen to this. It's cut 21, guys, here, Representative Steve Israel.
You know, you always want checks and balances. That's the way it should be. But when you have a Republican Tea Party Congress that has only been willing to act when they can act on behalf of oil companies and insurance companies and special interests, you can't expect the president just to sit still and stand by. I don't think Republicans really object to the fact that the president is invoking his presidential authority. I think they object to the fact that he's invoking his presidential authority when it helps the middle class.
Wow. So, no, see, these Tea Party people, they've only been willing to act when they can act on the behalf of oil companies and insurance companies and special interests. Are you kidding? The Tea Party guys, they're not. Who has helped in big insurance more than anybody else? Obama. Why do you think the insurance companies signed up with Obamacare? Because he promised them the moon. Oil companies? That's what the Tea Party's about? I thought he just told us how great the oil industry is in America and how much it's been helping, and we're almost energy independent. Why? Because we've done it all on private land and state land, and we've done it with fracking and other technology and shale and everything else that Obama was against. But that's not special interest. That's called energy. That's called money, jobs. It's a good thing. And the only reason that the Republicans object to the president going around Congress is because it helps the middle class? Do they really think people believe that stuff? I guess they do. Let me get Greg in at WMAL. Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Well, I think I am a conservative, proud to be a conservative, ashamed to be referred to as a Republican, mainly because the ultra-conservatives use a hammer trying to get their way. Perfect example of the Democratic way to slide us towards socialism is the seatbelt laws. Years ago, the Democrats said, let's have the government control whether or not you wear a seatbelt. Everybody said, no, we can't do that. So they said, okay, we won't do it that way. We'll just attach it. So if you get pulled over, you get a ticket if you're not wearing your seatbelt. And
everything
along with it.
I remember.
Downhill from there. And now, everywhere in the United States, you're driving without a seatbelt, now you can get a ticket.
Okay, how does that relate to what we're talking about? Tie it together.
What we need to do is we need to take their page. Everything that Obama was saying last night, his subtleties, the whole thing going around the tail end to get his way, going into getting the raising the federal employees up to $10.10, which today does absolutely nothing because there's already a law in place that already assures that. And the Republicans are saying, well, that doesn't matter about the 10-10 because it's already in effect with this other law that they all have to get paid more anyway. And the Republicans are sitting back and they're letting it slide.
Well, thanks for the call. Here's the deal. I totally agree. The Republicans have let all kinds of things slide because they keep saying they can't do anything about it. Well, the more you let it slide, the more it happens. And this is a president that has grabbed more executive power than any president in the history of this nation. Even liberal lawyer Jonathan Turley, constitutional lawyer from Georgetown, even he is admitting that that is true now. You've got liberal attorneys coming out and saying this is a bad thing. And what do we do? We're not doing anything. So, not doing anything. Let me get Daniel in from WBAP because he wanted to jump in on this minimum wage thing. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Yes, Greg. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
On the subject of the minimum wage, I think what most people fail to understand is this was never designed to be a living wage. For example, look at somebody out there, you know, cutting grass 40 hours a week. Is that supposed to be a living wage? These are all jobs that are designed to help primarily young people develop the skills so that they can move up the ladder and earn a job where they're making a living wage.
Dave, why do you hate poor people?
You ignore that fact.
Dave, why do you hate poor people? Why do you want these people to live in poverty? Why are you so uncaring? Why are you so mean?
Well, I'll tell you. I want to see everybody learn the skills to get a better job if Obama would stop.
No, Dave, you're exactly right. Thanks for getting it. Obviously, I was being sarcastic. But that's what happens. See, it's really easy to say, I care about you. I want to give you more money. It's not your money. It's easy to do that with other people's money. You know, it's that old joke, you, conservative and liberal, walking down the street, and they see the homeless guy, and the liberal turns to the conservative and says, hey, give me your wallet. I want to help that guy. It's easy to do it with other people's money. But you're right. Minimum wage is for unskilled, uneducated labor. And it's your entry-level job. And what happens is if you go there and you do a good job, you move up. And you use that as a starting point to learn about a work ethic, to learn about showing up on time and doing everything that you're asked and saying, hey, I'll volunteer for that extra shift and showing the boss that you've got a good attitude and starting to move up so that as you continue your education, as you continue your experience, you get better and better jobs. See, this is the idea that somehow you get a minimum wage job and that's your job for life. If that's how you're doing it, you're doing something wrong. But the idea that straight out of high school, or maybe not even finishing high school, washing dishes for 40 hours a week is supposed to be the way that you raise your family just doesn't make any sense. And, of course, they leave out the economics of it, that every time you artificially inflate this wage, every time it's happened, they have had a decrease in low-skilled employment. People don't get hired, and some people get fired. And who does it hit the hardest? The poor. Now, the people that had their wage go up, they're excited, but the other people that never got a job, they don't realize the reason they didn't, in part, was because of this increase. And, of course, the union wages are set on minimum wage, and a lot of other things are tied to it, so everything goes up, the cost of everything goes up, and everybody's paying more for no increase in production. It's not basic economics, but see, that doesn't sound very compassionate, does it? What I just said doesn't really move you emotionally, does it? It's a lot easier to say, look at this person working 40 hours a week. They can't raise their family. And that's the problem. That's what we get. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Well, what we need, though, instead of a 10-10 minimum wage, here's what we really need. Free crack pipes. I mean, if we really want to help people who are feeling down, I mean, what can bring you up quicker than a couple hits of crack? And of course, it'll bring you down later, but we're talking about right now. We may be looking at short-term, but the short-term gain is... Who denies that you feel better when you take a hit of crack? I mean, really. So in San Francisco, they want to help the crackheads. Supporters of a plan to hand out clean crack pipes to San Francisco drug users say they're not swayed by city opposition, and they're going to hand them out anyway. Well, yeah, they know that San Francisco is going to come around eventually. I mean, they allowed naked people on the BART, and they you know, hand out the free needles, so why not the free crack pipes? They say that it will help decrease HIV. Wait a second. I thought you couldn't get HIV from saliva. So how does a crack pipe being clean help you with HIV? I don't quite understand that. And hepatitis C, and maybe it's because I don't understand how the crack pipe works, and that may be true. So they're working on that. And here's the thing. They said, hey, it worked with free needles, so it should work with this. And we don't care what the city says. We're going to hand out some free clean pipes. Of course, that's a violation of state and federal law for drug paraphernalia, but they probably won't enforce it. Here's the thing. Has it been a success to do the clean needles? Do we have real scientific evidence that there is a decrease in HIV because of the clean needles? Now, there's been a great decrease in HIV nationwide, but how about in San Francisco because of clean needle program? Or is it just encouraging more people to do the drugs? And I read reports that said the people were getting the clean needles, selling them, and using that money to buy drugs. Because, hey, they need some money. Let me get Rachel in this. She says she has personal experience on this. Rachel. You're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappen for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. The clean crack pipe is a complete and utter waste of time because as a former crackhead, I know that the dirtier your pipe is, the more dope that has been melted and goes down inside. So the last thing that a crackhead wants is a clean pipe.
Oh, so you're saying the longer you use it, the better the drug is off that pipe because it mixes with all the stuff that's still in there?
That's still in there. And then you take and you push the Brillo from one end to the other, and you have a whole new set of drug.
Rachel, how did you get off the crack?
Actually, I went to jail, went to a program, and I've been clean and sober for 10 years.
God bless you. Do you think giving out free crack pipes is going to reduce any kind of crack use or reduce any kind of communicable disease?
Absolutely not, because the first thing you want to do is hand somebody your pipe to use, because half their dope is going to stay in your pipe, and you walk away with half their dope.
Very interesting. I bet they'll end up selling those pipes and using that money for drugs. Thanks, Rachel. I appreciate it. And we better not talk to Rachel anymore, because I almost felt like we were giving a 1-2-3 step on how to do crack. I'm not so sure that's exactly what we're trying to do on the program today. And, yes, I did show that I am in the know on drugs when I called it the crack. And it's not just crack, it's the crack. How long have you been on the crack? All right, sorry. Yeah, I'm not real up on the crack lingo. All right, we're going to get you details on why science says it's time to take a nap and your phone calls. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. Filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. We've been talking, of course, about the State of the Union. We've been talking about him going around Congress, about him trying to artificially inflate the minimum wage again, because, after all, he cares about poor people and you don't. It doesn't talk about the economics of it, doesn't talk about the fact that it's an entry-level job, that it's going to be harder to get more people into those jobs, that it's going to increase the cost for the business so they won't be able to hire as many people, that union wages are tied to this and you're going to see it go up. There's a ripple effect across the board if all this goes through. He's just talking about federal contractors right now, which, by the way, won't really kick in until 2015, won't have anything to do with the current contracts that are on. And estimates I've seen is something like out of 2 million workers, maybe 200,000 are making less than $10 an hour, and they're the part-time people. But other than that, he's doing something. He's compassionate. All right. Hey, if you haven't taken a nap lately, let me tell you this. New scientific study says if you sleep for 10 to 20 minutes, you will be quickly refreshed and increase your cognitive ability. If you sleep for about an hour, you're going to wake up groggy. But if you sleep for 90 minutes, you'll go through the entire REM cycle, and you'll wake up feeling super refreshed and ready to go. Which is why I told my boss I'm taking a 90-minute nap. He didn't like it. All right, let me get a little bit of what you've got going on here. Let me start with Sherilyn, WJT. Sherilyn, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. Thank you for having me on your program. The thing is with this minimum wage, we wouldn't even need to increase it if it wasn't for government-caused inflation. So they caused the problem, and now they're going to bring us their solution. And also, he makes this big deal about education. Got to put all this money into education. Well, the United States spends more money on education than any of the industrialized nations, yet our children rank dead last on the NEAP educational test. And what good is an education if there's no employer that's going to hire you?
You know, it's an interesting point, Sherilyn, on, yes, we do spend more money per pupil than any other nation, and we are not scoring well against other industrialized nations, and that is absolutely true. I do say this, though, and it's been compared the same way for years, but overseas, they don't test everybody. They test their college-bound people. And here, we test everybody. That's a little different. But, yeah, it's not just about the money. The point of education, to really learn about life, to learn a career, to learn a vocation. Why does it cost so much? What can we do about that? Oh, there's a ton of things to talk about on that. We can get into all of it. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation. And we got to get into what's going on here with President Obama and the economy, because last night in the State of the Union, he was telling us how great the economy was and then told us all these new big government programs he needed to help people because the economy sucks. I got a little twisted. I had a little whiplash. I got to admit, I felt a little bit like Joe Biden, really confused, but strangely happy. I didn't know exactly what was going on. So what is he talking about? He was telling, oh, man, we've got all these new jobs, and we've got the stock market's higher than ever, and people are making all this money, except, you know, medium wages are down. And we got to have a minimum wage increase, and we've got to get the government involved with picking winners and losers again, and we've got to give a tax break here and a special zone over here, and we got to raise minimum wage. But I thought everything was great. It was kind of confusing, wasn't it? So was he telling you the truth on this? Greg, come on. Was that a trick question? No, I'm sorry. That was probably wasn't great. But he gives, see, this is what he's really good at doing. He gives a speech where he has something in it for everybody so that everybody can take something away acting like he really gets them. You know, he gave all kinds of lip service to the free market, to our capitalist system, to it being the greatest country where even the barkeep's son can become the Speaker of the House, where even a son of a single mother can become the President of the United States. But we need more big government programs, or you can't make it. I mean, sure, I did it. Sure, John Boehner did it, but I mean, you couldn't do it. I mean, come on. It's you. You need the elite people like me to help you. You know, we need central planning, because that's what will really get it done. Otherwise, I mean, how could you ever, ever make it, right? So he goes into telling you how great the 8 million new jobs our businesses have created over the past 4 years, right? Oh, man. Even USA Today has to point out, well, it's a little bit selective here. See, yes, there have been 8.2 million private jobs added since February 2010. But guess what? He leaves out the 4.2 million jobs that were lost from when he took office to the bottom of the recession. The net job gain since he took office is only 3.2 million. This is the worst economic recovery in modern times. See, normally when you have a horrible recession, you have a great recovery. We haven't had the great recovery. Not even close. Well, but our deficits, I've cut them in half. Well, that's because in 2009, there was a $1.2 trillion projected deficit that came into $1.4 trillion. Highest in U.S. history. And then the next 3 years under Obama, they were all over $1 trillion. So now he's finally got it to $680 billion last year, and see, we've cut it in half. But it's still less, it's still the highest deficit for any previous president. $680 billion. Nobody else has ever had one that high except for Obama. And yet we're supposed to be excited? Are you kidding? And then he gets into this idea of what we can do to help people who can't contribute to an IRA or a 401k. Well, everybody can contribute to a Roth IRA. Well, but not if you're not making enough money. I mean, if you're just barely getting by, Greg, how are they supposed to do that? And really, when you look at it, about two-thirds of all workers said they put some money away in retirement savings. But about half of all American workers have companies that don't offer retirement plans. So what can they do? Well, like I said, they can do a Roth IRA, but he says what we need is a MyRA. Yeah, see, a MyRA. And that'll be a government savings bond. Wait, what? I mean, really? I mean, if you go talk to anybody who knows anything about financial planning, they will tell you the best way to double your money is to put it into a savings bond. A savings bond? What are we, all grandmothers now? The last time you got a savings bond was when you were born and your grandma bought you one. A savings bond is what we're going to do? This is like the guy that says, I'll tell you how to double your money. Fold it in half. I got a million of them. Are you kidding? Savings bonds. That's the answer. Oh, my goodness. And the thing is, he didn't even really get into details here. CNN Money tried to go over it. And what they're saying is, well, the White House is telling us that the MyRA would be offered through Roth IRA accounts, and that any saver with wages could set one up. Well, you already can do a Roth IRA. That has nothing to do with your employer. What are they talking about? That's the one that you pay your taxes on the front end. You put it into the Roth. You can put up to $5,000 a person right now. And then when you take it out when you retire, there's no taxes on it. But what is that? $5,500 now, I think. I think it just went up. But what? Okay, listen. That's not going to help the poor person who is working and barely making it paycheck to paycheck. You know how to do that right now? Here's how you do it. You privatize Social Security. Because right now, if you are earning a paycheck, 12.4% of your earnings are going to Social Security.
Greg, that's not true. It's only 6.2%. The employer pays the other 6.2%.
Yeah, you're right. And where do you think that money comes from? Your pay. If they didn't have to pay the 6.2%, it could be yours. So it's your money. 12.4% of your earnings are going straight to Social Security, to money that most of us will never see as much as we put in. That's just the way it is right now. You look at the numbers. That thing is going bankrupt like nobody's business because a couple things. First of all, when it was first put in place, there were 60 workers for every retiree. We're down to 3-1. That ain't good. I don't care how you try and do your math. That ain't going to work, right? Secondly, our government has stolen money out of the trust fund every year to, you know, put into other things. But we put IOUs in. Don't worry. So when you go to the IOU, what happens? Oh, we print digital money and we borrow more and we tax people more. It'll all work out. Don't worry. Well, look, imagine that you are a low-wage worker living paycheck to paycheck. You don't have any money you can put aside. But imagine if 12.4% of your money, every paycheck, could be put into a tax-free retirement account. Really, no matter what you make, if you started doing that at age 21, you would retire a multimillionaire. And if you did that, let's say you had $2 million earning 10% a year in that account, just to do easy numbers. You could take $200,000 out a year just on the interest and never touch the principal forever. And then when you die, you pass it on to your heirs. But no, we can't do that. That would destroy Social Security. Remember? The one thing I will give Bush credit for, well, two things. The Bush tax cuts worked. Fully phased in 2003, there was a mini economic boom, and we actually had an increase in tax revenues. And actually, the rich ended up paying a higher percentage of taxes. Now, the Democrats will try and tell you that destroyed the economy. It had nothing to do with what happened to our economy. The problem Bush had was he continued to spend more, and he continued to regulate more. More, not less. They're lying to you if they tell, well, Bush deregulated banking. Nope. No, he didn't. The last banking deregulation was under Clinton. Well, Bush deregulated housing. Nope. No, he didn't. Spend more? Yes, you can blame him for that. Regulate too much? Yes, you can blame him for that. The other stuff? No. So why don't we do this? Well, because every time a Republican talks about doing it, the Democrats cry, you're destroying Social Security. You're going to have it so that grandma's out in the cold. You're going to have them eating dog food. Their stock market is just too risky. Then why is it that every single person in Congress and President Obama have their retirement in stocks? Too risky. But doesn't it just have to be stocks? It could be REITs, other kind of real estate investments, commodities, bonds, a mixture of all of them. Here's the thing. Do you realize that we have evidence that privatizing works? Now, you'd have to transition it in America. It couldn't be done all the way tomorrow. We'd have to transition out of this debacle Ponzi scheme we have right now in Social Security. But did you know they did it in Chile? And they have people who are retiring. In their retirement, they're earning more than when they were working in Chile. Then you have what happened in Galveston County, Texas. You may have heard the story before. But even with the Great Recession, it's still a huge success. See, in Galveston, they did an alternative plan where all the employees were able to opt out of Social Security. Their contributions were pooled. This is a great piece out of Forbes on this. And top-rated financial institutions bid to be the person or the institution that would manage that money. And it wasn't just throw it all in the stock market. What they did was these institutions guaranteed an interest rate that wouldn't go below a specific level. It could go higher, but it would never go lower than 3.75% over the last decade. They've earned between 3.75% and 5.75%. The 90s often saw higher interest rates, up to 7%. So when the market was going up, employees made more. When the market went down, they still made something. Now, here's the other thing. They made it really like Social Security, not just the retirement plan, but also a life insurance plan and a disability plan. They give out more than 850 times the Social Security death benefit. Well, how has it worked? And by the way, when you die, you get to pass it on to your heirs. But listen to this. You're a lower middle income worker. You make $26,000 a year. At retirement, from Social Security, you get about $1,000 a month. Under the alternate plan, $1,800 a month. That's kind of a big deal, almost double. How about a middle income worker? You earn $51,000 a year. At retirement, you get about $1,500 from Social Security, $3,600 from the alternate plan. More than double. And about the high-end worker? The high-end worker earns about $2,500 a month from Social Security, gets around $5,000 to $6,000 a month with the alternate plan. You're making twice to three times as much with this alternate plan. So why don't we do it? I'll tell you why. Imagine that the Republicans fixed Social Security like this. Imagine the conservative Republicans really got this done. And you ended up having a nest egg that you never dreamed of that was painless because it was coming out of your paycheck anyway. And you end up retiring with $2, $3, $4 million in your account. How do you think you're going to vote when you turn 65? How do you think you're going to vote as you start to see that add up when you're 50, 55, 60? It would change the electoral dynamics in this country like nothing before. The Democrats have been running on Republicans destroying Social Security for decades. It's never been true, but they've been getting votes out of it like crazy. They are trying to scare you and scare old people into thinking that the Republicans are trying to take away Social Security. No, time is taking away Social Security. The realities of this broken program is taking away Social Security. But they cannot allow this to be fixed by the Republicans with a privatized plan because you won't have to vote for them anymore. You won't be dependent on them anymore, and it would totally change what's going on in this country. That's why they can't allow it to happen. What do you think? Love your thoughts on it. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me get Chris in real quick at KSFO. Chris, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. You know, I feel for people that don't have enough to save. You know, I get it. But, you know, when I started with my company, I earned a lot less than I had, and I felt that saving up money and buying a house was a more important investment. And then as I earned more and more and more, I had more cash available to put aside for retirement. But then I got to the point that, well, when you hit $110,000, you're not allowed to put the full $5,000 into the IRA. So I put what I could. This year it was only $2,400 because I made $116,000.
Right.
I learned something else. That by making more than $115,000, I made $1,300 too much. I broke $115,000. So that qualifies me into the IRS as a highly compensated employee, which is now falls under the purview of anti-discrimination stress tests, which means that I'm not allowed to put more than 2% higher into my 401k than the average of non-HSE HCE employees.
Right. It looks at, they look at the other employees where you work, and then they have this little formula, and then they determine what you're allowed to put in. And they and you're right. You can't hit the maximums anymore.
So they give you this carrot and say you're allowed to put $17,000 into your 401k, except for when you can finally afford it, you're limited to what, 2% higher than when you couldn't afford it, because there's always going to be the new guy that can't afford it yet because he's not been there long enough.
Well, and once again, Chris, why is it the government should be manipulating you like this and trying to keep, you know, do this and we'll give you that, jump through this hope and we'll give you that? It gets ridiculous, and you're right. I'm pointing all that stuff out. And here's the thing. As Chris started off, he understands how some people can't afford to save. The point is everybody who's working is already saving through Social Security, aren't they? But the thing is, they're not going to get it back anymore, are they? You got to ask why. We'll get into it now. We'll get into this big, big lie President Obama told about what women earn in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you in. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Michael Savage. They're crazy, super crazy, or totally insane. Most people who are legitimate and sane, though, go into politics.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I am filling in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in. And you know, it's interesting, some of the stuff that President Obama said. And one of the things he went into was what he was talking about. He said that women were only making 77 cents on the dollar compared to women. Let's hear cut 14 from President Obama on equal pay.
That is wrong. And in 2014, it's an embarrassment. Women deserve equal pay for equal work.
Yeah, and everybody went nuts on that, of course. He said, you know, today women make up about half our workforce. They still make 77 cents for every dollar a man earns. That's wrong. It's an embarrassment. The problem is it's just not true. And yet the left still goes crazy on this. The media eats it up with a spoon, but it's not true. Real Clear Markets, great piece by Diana Furthgott Roth. She was commenting on this book called Freedom Feminism by Christina Hoff Summers. Now, Obama said this again last year in the Rose Garden, 77 cents on the dollar. It's just not true. Here's what they do. Now, you would think if he's saying women compared to men on their salary that he would say, all right, a female brain surgeon, same experience, same education, same amount of time on the job, is earning this compared to a male brain surgeon with the same education, experience, and time on the job, right? No, that's not what they do. They take all the women in the workforce and every job, full-time, part-time, from a maid up to a brain surgeon or CEO, compared to all the men in every job, all across. That's not how you compare job to job. Even if you did that, by the way, women are making 88 cents on the dollar than men, according to the latest labor statistics. But it's even better than that when you compare single childless women to single childless men. I'm going to get to the details on that in just a second and your phone calls. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. Savage Nation, excuse me, Savage Nation. I'm in for Dr. Savage. Appreciate that. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And, yeah, we've been talking a little bit about the State of the Union address. Love your thoughts on it. And we're talking about the economy and President Obama going around Congress, including the minimum wage. Got to increase the minimum wage, right? And how do the young people take this? We're also getting into this whole woman thing. The women aren't being treated fairly. 77 cents on the dollar. Really? Well, no, not really. In fact, let's compare unmarried, childless women's salaries to unmarried, childless men's salaries between 35 and 43 years old, okay? Did you know that women are earning more? 108 cents to a man's dollar. You didn't hear that last night. Look, instead of trying to divide us and put the men against the women, how about we just try to expand the economy so that everybody has more opportunity? How about we get government out of the way? How about we actually cut the taxes for everybody? Not special interest, not this business here, but not this business there, not the super rich or the super poor, just everybody. How about we reduce the regulations so that people can start businesses? How about we say that, you know what, if you have a company overseas and you've already paid taxes on that money, bring it back to America and we don't tax you. Because that's what foreign countries do for people who have businesses over here, and they pay tax on their profits here. That encourages you to bring it back. Instead, we want to punish you. It doesn't make any sense. And now he's trying to tell you that, you know, these women are being mistreated. Then why aren't we arresting people? Because that's actually illegal. So what do you think? Love your thoughts on it. Let me start with Matt, WMAL. Matt, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
How you doing? My dinner
doing well.
Is getting essentially screwed with and getting foot with the bill of 60-something thousand dollars per person. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's not fair. When I've worked so hard, worked two jobs to work myself through school so that I graduate with no debt at all, but yet I still have the debt of this government on my shoulders. And I can't save because Social Security keeps getting pulled out of my check why can't I save it myself? Am I not smart enough? Or does Big Brother have to do it for me?
No, I think you're on something now. No, Matt, thank you. You're absolutely right. You are getting screwed over. There's no doubt about it. You are paying for the people who are retired now. That's a Ponzi scheme. And that's what Social Security is. What do you mean it's not a Ponzi scheme? Yeah, if you're paying for what other people are retiring on right now, then that's a Ponzi scheme. That's the whole definition of it, is that people on the bottom end are paying so the people who are retiring reap the benefits. That's exactly what's going on now. Now, did the older people pay into it too? Yes. But most people now are taking out more of Social Security than they paid in. And when we only have three workers for every retiree, soon to be two workers for every retiree, you know it's a Ponzi scheme. And they've taken all the money out of it, and they've screwed you over. There's no doubt about it. But they won't let you put your own money into your own account because they do think that you're too stupid to do it. And because they want you to be dependent on them. And so it's what's happened time and time again. And let me get Bruce on it, WFTW. Bruce, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Greg, great job. A million times a million is a trillion. From the time Obama took office, he has now increased our debt by $7 trillion. Unlimited printing digitally of money, the QE unlimited to fund the bureaucrats in our corrupt government, such as the DEA, DEP, and all the Department of Education, everything else. They're all given their salaries by the unlimited printing of money, which has actually decreased the value of the dollar, caused the economy to slow down, and caused we can't go to the store and buy milk now. What do you think about that?
Well, Bruce, thanks for the call. I will say you hit one thing that I really agree with. This quantitative easing, and for people that don't know, it sounds complicated. It's really printing digital money to buy up our debt and spread this money out to the big banks. And the money has to go somewhere. And where is it going? It's going to the stock market. It's inflating another stock bubble. For some, it's going to real estate. It's inflating another real estate bubble. And what does it do? It devalues our currency. Now, they say, well, we haven't seen that yet. Oh, it's coming. And there are people that actually want our currency devalued. Do you know why? Because as the value of the dollar goes down, our debt goes down. Because it's cheaper to pay off a debt when the debt isn't worth as much because the dollar isn't worth as much. And you, once again, now are having that taken straight out of your paycheck. Your savings won't be worth as much as the dollar goes down. Your salary isn't worth as much as the dollar goes down. Virtually everything President Obama has done to try to save the economy has made it worse. And yet he's telling you what we really need to do is more of it. Is that amazing? I mean, really, what can he show through any kind of evidence that this stuff is working? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in, 855-400-SAVAGE. Hey, I want to get to this, too. The whole Iran situation is interesting, isn't it? Andrea Mitchell was sitting around talking before the State of the Union last night. They were talking about how President Bush made news in the State of the Union address when he said that Iran was part of the axis of evil. And Andrea Mitchell said, well, wait a second. That wasn't such a great thing. That actually caused a lot of problems because, you know, it used to be that Iran was our friend. What? This is cut 10. Let's hear this.
Those words, axis of evil, I was standing right here in Congress, and when I heard those words, I called the control room and I said, this is a big deal.
Huge.
The State Department, you know, with all due respect, Colin Powell and the State Department did not focus enough on those words and get them taken out of the State of the Union, because up until that moment, Iran was cooperating with the United States on the border of Afghanistan. It was post 9/11. Iran was more or less an American ally. By being included in the axis of evil, it turned the Iranian government in a completely different direction. It was a turning point in American politics.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Bush hadn't called Iran the axis of evil along with North Korea, you know, golly, Iran was pretty much our buddy. I mean, you know, from taking Americans hostage in the 70s. And then the Ayatollah saying America was the great Satan. No, really, they were our friend because they were helping us on the border of Afghanistan. You know why they were helping us with the border of Afghanistan? They didn't want the Taliban coming into their country. You know why else? They knew that we were getting ready to go into Iraq. And the enemy of the enemy is my friend. And nothing to do with George Bush called it the axis of evil. I mean, but otherwise it would have been perfect. We'd be chummy chummy. We'd be singing Kumbaya. If it wasn't for that right now, I would be taking my vacation in Tehran. Because, you know, the temperature in Tehran is really nice right now. I mean, if you're in Atlanta, you're thinking, man, if only I booked that trip to Tehran. And I would have if it wasn't for that evil Bush. Because it would just be perfect. Sure, if I showed up with my Bible, I'd be in trouble. But I could leave the Bible behind. I don't even have to
have to talk about that all the time. I mean, I don't know what you get. Are you kidding? This is revisionist history like never before. And by the way, you look at what's going with Iran and the nukes. Did you see that over the weekend, General Moshe Rafduzt, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, told the government's Mayer News Agency that we pursued ways in order to gain nuclear arms until Khomeini said, do not pursue atoms, and then we stopped. Now, Tehran said we never went for nukes. Tehran said we can't do it because of our religious beliefs. And here's their general saying, we pursued nuclear arms. Then there's this guy, Reza Khalili. He is an ex-CIA agent. That is his pseudonym. He's written a new book on this. He worked with the Revolutionary Guard. And he said the general's comments fall short of the truth because a letter written by the Guard's chief commander during the Iran-Iraq War, Moshe Razeh, said Khomeini gave them approval for the nuclear bomb program. They even went to AQ Khan from Pakistan to try to get these blueprints because they knew that Iraq was building a nuke. But no. If it wasn't for George W. Bush calling the axis of evil, everything would have been a god doggone George Bush. Stop this guy. I mean, there comes a point where you just got to say, are you kidding? Are you smoking crack? Did you get that free crack pipe from San Francisco? Can we get that to Andrea Mitchell? Man, this is what passes for political commentary with Andrea Mitchell. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE and you are in. Oh, and there's just one other one I wanted to get you to. Where, you know that we have a new Chinese ambassador. Well, he's in the confirmation process. Max Baucus, Senator Max Baucus. You remember, he's the guy that helped Obamacare pass, where they finally got him to cave in on the whole abortion thing, right? Democrat Montana. And Republicans were asking him about China. We had a question there where they were saying, you know, what do you think motivated the Chinese to recently form the Air Defense Identification Zone that overlaps disputed territories with Japan? Now, many people believe this is really a push from China on us and our military. So that question was asked to Baucus. All right? Let's hear cut three from Senator Max Baucus.
Senator, I am no real expert on China, but it's my strong belief that the Chinese people are just as proud as we Americans are proud.
Yeah. I'm no real expert on China. Aren't you going to be the Chinese ambassador? Yeah, but you know, I'm not. Wouldn't you think that the first thing you would start reading up on is this air defense thing that they're doing and how Chinese are trying to increase their military strength and that our Pentagon is worried that they're going to supersede our military power? Hey, start to. I really don't know much. No, don't know much about Chinese stuff. Are you kidding? You're supposed to be the Chinese ambassador. It's just because they're proud. They're proud people. That was a great. We all know this is a payoff because Baucus went along with Obamacare. That's fine, but can we get somebody that knows something? No, we can't. Hey, let me get some of your thoughts on all this, too. Let me start with Matt, WMAL. Matt, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, so I wanted to talk a little bit. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. You just said minimum wage, but I thought you were going to go into it. So sorry, this is a little off topic.
That's all right. Go ahead. You're talking about President Obama wanting to artificially raise the minimum wage. Yes.
Right. Exactly. So certain politicians always talk about how there's racial economic kind of segregation or whatever, like poverty. Black Americans are forced into poverty. I believe that the biggest cause of that poverty is minimum wage, and here's why. First, let's talk about what minimum wage is fundamentally. It's the government stepping in and saying to someone, you can't sell your labor for what you want to. So if there's a person who wants to sell their labor for $5 an hour to get a job, the government says you can't do that. So assuming there's no forced labor, it's fundamentally flawed that the government can come in and say that. It's actually a restriction of liberty.
But Matt, see, that would allow the employer to pay you so little that you couldn't live on, and it's the government here to protect you. We want you to be able to make an honest wage and stop those greedy business people from not paying you.
And that's what they tell you. And what I'm trying to say is that how would you like it if someone came into your life, whoever's listening to this, how would you like it if someone came into your life and said, you know, say you're starving, you know, whatever, you don't have a home, anything. You walk up to someone, you say, hey, I'd like to work for you for $2 an hour. The person says, great.
Yeah, and how would you like them to jump in? I understand. Listen, here's the problem with the whole minimum wage. It's setting it at an artificial level. I don't think there should be a minimum wage. Because guess what? The vast majority of people don't earn minimum wage. And the people who do don't have to be there long. I'm telling you, if you go and you get a job at McDonald's at minimum wage, you show up on time, you volunteer for every extra shift that is in there, man, you'll be an assistant manager in 6 months. I mean, are you kidding me? You will stand out like nobody's business. 90% of it is just showing up on time. The other 10% is showing a good attitude. And, you know, here's the story of minimum wage. My wife's cousin, first one in his family to go to college. He didn't start off in college. He started out in high school, got his diploma, went and worked as a teller at a bank. He worked really hard at that bank. They loved his attitude. The bank actually had a plan that they would put you through college while you worked. He did it. The bank then hired him as a officer in the bank. Then the bank said, we got another plan to help you get an MBA. He did that. He's now one of the higher-ups at the bank making really, really good money. And he did it all starting out with the lowest job they offered. But see, you can't do that. No, you need big government to do it for you. And of course, while big government artificially increases these wages, there will be fewer opportunities for you to get in. Oh, and by the way, if you're trying to be an entrepreneur at a very young age, the government's here to stop you. I'm going to tell you this story. It's going to blow you away in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knappen for the Doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. In for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You know, we were talking about minimum wage and the economy. And how about this entrepreneur? It's an 11-year-old girl, middle school. And she makes cupcakes and cakes and sells them out of her house, and she's saving up for a car, and her mom says, we're worried she's gonna make too much money because we said we'd match it. She works out of her family's kitchen. She's busy almost every week with her business. This is according to the Belleville News Democrat over the weekend, right? She also runs a pet sitting business called No Bones About It, and she plays soccer. This girl is working her butt off. She's doing it almost every night. She said, what I do is I make the cupcakes the night before, then come home and decorate them. She says, the cupcake making has taken over the kitchen. They got a big KitchenAid mixer in the corner that was given to her by her granny and papa. They've got a second refrigerator they bought just for her baking supplies. She charges $10 for a dozen cupcakes, $2 for every specialty cupcake. But when a boy was battling cancer in her school, she donated cupcakes for a fundraiser. And her largest order so far was 220 cupcakes that she donated for another cancer fundraiser. And now the government's shutting her down. Yeah, you heard me right. The government saw the article in the newspaper. So according to KMOV, the Madison County Health Department is shutting her down. They say, see, the problem is, since she's selling these, she needs a permit. And by not having a permit, she is violating the code in Illinois, the state food sanitation code. And, by the way, she also needs to get a licensed kitchen or create another kitchen in her family's home. So here's a girl who's mostly selling to her friends and family and donating them as fundraisers to help people at 11 years old, and we're shutting her down. That's what we're doing in America today. Let's go after the children bakers. Let's go after the children who have lemonade stands. Let's go. There's no way that this should not be supervised by the government at all times. Can I just sign a waiver saying I don't mind? I'll eat it out of her kitchen? No, you can't. My name's Greg Knapp, and for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation. And we're going to talk a little bit about what President Obama said about energy, what he said about immigration, what he said about Henry Ford last night. And just the whole feeling of the State of the Union, I want to know from you. Did you even watch it? I mean, has it gotten to the point where you just don't even pay attention to it anymore? And you know that, you know, it's the president, and you're supposed to, you know, pay attention to what's going on in the world, but you knew it was going to be the same thing he said the last 4 years. You know it was going to be the same old tired liberal tripe. You know that he really is a guy who, really, if you read his books, told you exactly what he was going to be like. This is a guy who admitted in college he sought out Marxists and socialists to hang out with. It's in his books. Read his books. Half the people that bought his books never read them. They bought them to say that they bought them and used them as a doorstop. Found some use for them, I guess. But if you really read it, this is who the guy is. And he's so ideological that he can't look at the fact that this hasn't worked, that he's added over $7 trillion to the debt, that it's the worst economic recovery in modern times, that Keynesian economics doesn't work, that central planning never works, that he is destroying the health insurance industry and our health care. Doesn't matter. He says double down, do more. That's what will fix it. So we're going to get into that. Then we've got this. Have you seen what's going on with data mining? And I'm not just talking about the NSA. I mean, sure, the NSA knows who you played Xbox with last night online. Absolutely. And, yeah, sure, they're collecting the metadata on where you've been and who you're talking to for how long. But that's not anything that you really need to worry about. Okay. And, yeah, sure, when you're playing Angry Birds, they're spying on you there, too, and finding out everything on your social media account. But, listen, that's all for your protection, so don't worry about it. What I'm really concerned about is that now we're being told the Consumer Protection Agency that's supposed to watch out for you and fraud and credit cards and everything else like that, those guys are spying on you, collecting your data. Well, but I'm sure that's for your protection too. I mean, why are you worried? If you're not doing anything wrong, why are you even worried? Don't you love that one? Well, we'll get into it in just a little bit. And then Medicaid overpaying for something else. This time it's not penis pumps. Remember when they overpaid for those? Wait, that might have been Medicare. I think it was Medicare. Yeah. Medicare overpaid for the penis pumps. Medicaid is overpaying for something else. I'll get you the details on that one, too. I didn't even know those penis pumps were real. Did you know they were real? Overpaid for those. Okay, great. So we'll get all of that. And by the end of the show, I have an uplifting story about a little boy with no arms. It's all coming up. Stay tuned. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and I think I've said penis pumps as many times as you're allowed to on the radio. Would you check on that? Are we in trouble? It's a real thing, though. It's a real thing. I didn't make it up. It's Medicare. They overpaid for it. Millions. All right, let's get into what's going on with the energy, because at the State of the Union last night, we have President Obama telling you one of the biggest factors in bringing more jobs back is our commitment to American energy. The all-the-above energy strategy I announced a few years ago is working. And today, America's closer to energy independence than we've been in decades. And everybody went nuts. Freebird. And the problem is, all of the energy increases we've had, the significant ones, the ones that really count, not that we've added a few windmills that are killing bald eagles, the ones that really matter are oil and natural gas that's come from fracking. And guess where it's come from? Private lands. He didn't mention that last night, did he? In fact, he's been fighting that. The very stuff that's been creating a boom town in North Dakota, where people can't even find a place to live anymore because everything's just going crazy because everybody's coming in there and making a ton of money. He's been fighting. The only way it's been moving forward has been on private lands. And yet he wants to claim all this credit for it. The one thing he could do, sign Keystone XL pipeline in, he won't do. The State Department has done over 5 years of studying this thing. The State Department came out and said, no risk of significant environmental damage, go ahead. They even changed the route it's going through the Nebraska aquifer to appease the people in Nebraska. Nope. By the way, there's already all kinds of pipelines going across that aquifer. Nope, not going to do it. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that
Warren Buffett has a big stake in the railing industry that will be shipping the oil by rail instead of pipeline. That has nothing to do with it. Why would you even suggest such a thing? But he won't do that. In fact, you know, there's this great piece by the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform came out last year. And they took a little look at some of the stuff Obama's been saying about oil production. The Congressional Research Service said 96% of the increase in U.S. oil production since 2007 has been on non-federal lands, private lands and state lands, lands that Obama cannot touch. Did you know that? In fact, according to the EIA, total crude oil sales from federal and Indian lands has been stagnant from 2009 through 2012. And the Institute for Energy Research says the Obama administration has the lowest number of average annual leases since Reagan. Under Bush, there were about 2,800 leases a year. Under Obama, about 1,800. Federal onshore permit approvals down 42.7% in the Rockies and down 39.3% across the United States since 2006. Obama is doing everything he can to stop it, and he's trying to claim credit for it. This is the kind of stuff, does it surprise you anymore? I mean, has it gotten to the point that you're just like, hey, you know, look, this is what you expect. He's going to come out there, he's going to tell you that everything's going great, and then tell you that we've got to do more with big government programs to make it better because people are suffering, which is totally nonsensical. He's going to tell you that he's willing to work with Congress, but if he's not, it's his way or the highway. And that if they won't do what he says, he's going to go around him with an executive order, which is unconstitutional, but who really cares? And Congress isn't going to do anything to stop him, so what are you going to do? He comes out and tells you that the State of the Union is strong. The State of the Union is strong. Do you believe that right now? Look, I'm patriotic. Patriotism doesn't mean you just say America's great no matter what. I'm patriotic in that I love what this country was founded upon, what this country stands for, and I love the people of this country. And I love the idea of America. But I'm not the kind of patriot that's going to say, oh yeah, America's the best, we're number one in everything. Because we're not. When it comes to economic freedom index, we're not even in the top 10 anymore. When it comes to how well our children are educated, especially in the math and sciences, we're not in the top 10 anymore. Do you really think the State of the Union is strong? Do you agree with what he said? And then he said, no country in the world is more positioned for the future than America. Do you believe that? I don't. Not with what we've been doing. Not with what our tax policy is. Not with what our regulation policy is. Not with what our education policy is. Not with the central planning that's coming out from Washington, D.C. trying to tell us what to do. Oh, hey, that's the one place Obama has a really good approval rating. Did you see Gallup? He has an 80% approval rating in Washington, D.C. Yeah, I wonder why. That's where he's got his approval rating up through the roof. But this is what the guy does, time and time again. Are you getting tired of it? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Oh, and then after last night, he goes out, and he's on the trail now, right? He was in Maryland at a Costco, and he was talking about Henry Ford. Listen to this, clip 18. This is President Obama trying to weave in raising the minimum wage with Henry Ford. All right, here we go.
100 years ago, Henry Ford. I started Ford Motor Company, Model T, you remember all that. Henry Ford realized he could sell more cars if his workers made enough money to buy the cars. He had started this factories and mass production and all that, but then he realized, you know, if my workers aren't getting paid, they won't be able to buy the cars. And then I can't make a profit and reinvest to hire more workers. But if I pay my workers a good wage, they can buy my product, I make more cars, ultimately I'll make more money, they've got more money in their pockets. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that just sounds perfect. See, so that's why I have to artificially increase the minimum wage and force every business to do what I tell them to do. Okay, first of all, that story's not true. If you really study Henry Ford, and I love Henry Ford's biography and his story, and if you really get down to it, Henry Ford raised the wages for his employees to keep the good employees and to recruit better ones. See, he knew that if he could get really good, skilled workers who would stay with him on that job,
It would save him money and turn out better cars, higher quality cars, and he would make more money. That's what a businessman does. That was his decision. It wasn't the government that forced him to do it. And guess what? He was able to fire people who weren't good. There wasn't a union yet, making it almost impossible to fire somebody. So he would get rid of the people who weren't good workers, and he had people beating down his door trying to work for him because he was paying a very good wage. But he still paid the wage based on the productivity of that worker and based on what he could make as a car and make a profit on. That's what motivated him and what made it so that he could become the successful businessman he was. But according to Obama, businessmen are too stupid. See, there's only a few Henry Fords who are willing to pay workers what they're worth. The rest of them are willing to lose money with high turnover. They're willing to lose money by not getting good workers. They're willing to lose money by not paying their workers what they should. If they were just smart like me, President Obama, they would, pay everybody more. Here's the thing. The vast majority of people who work in this nation do not work for minimum wage. Why? Because the businesses they work for already value their work more than the minimum wage. And the vast majority of people who earn minimum wage do not stay in that job all their life. But here he is again. Let me get Bob in, KBET. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah, the main beneficiaries of an increase in minimum wage will be high-income people like union government employees who have in their contract that if the minimum wage is increased, their wages will go up accordingly. And also a lot of high-income blackjack dealers, cocktail waitresses, bartenders and such who work for minimum wage plus tips. The actual low-income people, very few will benefit because, like, for instance, people at McDonald's, they already pay more than minimum wage anyway. So very few people actually get minimum wage.
Yeah, it depends. You're right, Bob, that a lot of union wages are set to this. And here's the other thing. If you artificially inflate it all of a sudden to $10 an hour, then the people who are currently making $10 an hour who have higher education and higher experience are going to say, hey, wait a second, I've been working here much longer than this guy. Just showed up yesterday. I got much more experience, much more education. I'm doing a higher job, and you're paying me the same pay you're paying this dude now? No, I demand more money. And so now if you want to keep that employee, you got to raise their wage, which means you're not going to be able to afford as many employees as you've had, which means you're going to have to let some people go or not hire as many new people. That's all the stuff that's being left out of this. The ripple effect that goes on, and it's been proven time and time again. Economists on the left and the right will explain this to you, but he doesn't care because this is his ideology. This is what he believes in. This is his redistributing the wealth. This is what he thinks really improves. And to which I would say this. He said, listen, this will get people out of poverty, right? Well, the poverty level for a family of four is around $23,500, something like that. If you're making $10 an hour, that's about $20,000 a year. So you're still not out of poverty. Well, I say we should make it $20 an hour because then at least you're making $40,000 a year. I mean, really, if artificially inflating it to $10 is good, why not artificially inflate it to $20? That'd be a great thing. Just like you said, unemployment insurance is a great improvement in our economy. It expands our economy, just like food stamps. Well, let's get everybody on unemployment and food stamps and really get this economy humming. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Starts to drive you a little bit nuts, doesn't it? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm going to get you, Senator Durbin, talking about why some people don't want to hang around Obama on the Democratic side. And then we'll get into Claire McCaskill and Rand Paul arguing over Bill Clinton's sexual predatory practices. We're getting back to that. We'll hit it all for you coming up. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
The notion that somehow George Bush faced what this president has faced simply isn't true. This has been an organized policy from the very beginning to try and thwart this president, and now he has to find ways to move the ball forward, even if Congress isn't willing to act.
There's David Axelrod. He said, yeah, I mean, listen, The Democrats loved George Bush. I mean, they never were any... do you remember the Bush years? They said this guy was a war criminal. Bush lied and people died. They had people calling him Nazis. They had people who had pictures of him like Hitler protesting. They had people in Congress and the Senate doing everything they could to stop everything he wanted to do. What are you talking about? Look, that is the nature of the beast. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's just stop with the nonsense. That, oh, back when it was, everybody was working so well together when it was George W. Bush. Give me a break. They really think you're stupid. But you know what? Obama's having some trouble even getting Democrats to want to be around him when it comes to campaign time. Coming up on a big election, right? And more Democrats are saying, oh, I can't make it when Obama comes to my district. And Senator Durbin was asked about that. Let's hear clip 19 on why these Democrats don't want to be around Obama anymore during election season.
This is not a news flash. In every election cycle, Democrats and Republicans from more conservative or more liberal venues are going to see the president's speech from a different perspective. And they're going to really reflect the people that they represent or want to represent. So there's always going to be this dissonance when it comes to the president's message and whether every member of his or her party are going to accept it.
Oh, so if members of his own party don't accept it, it's just because they're, you know, working for their constituents. But if Republicans don't accept it, it's because they hate him. They're racist. They're anti-Obama. They're obstructing. They're trying to thwart the will of this president. And he has to move the ball forward. No, here's the thing, David Axelrod. When you're elected to be a representative in the United States Congress, your job is to represent the people who elected you. Your job is to do what you promised them you would do. And their job is to balance the power of this power-grabbing president. They are doing their job. They are doing their constitutional duty when they stand up and say no. Rand Paul and Claire McCaskill going after it over Clinton? We'll get you the details in a second. My name is Greg Knapp. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in, 855-400-SAVAGE. And the other thing last night, of course, when President Obama talked about immigration reform, which, of course, is amnesty. I mean, really, everything they've put together is amnesty. He got a huge round of applause, not just from the Democrats, from the Republicans. Oh, they're caving. It's over. Paul Ryan today said the Republican principles will include legal status for the 11 million, but this will be a probationary status to make sure they will not be preferenced over people who did follow the laws. Well, that's not true. They're already being preferenced. They're allowed to stay. They're allowed to stay legally. They're allowed to work here legally. They're allowed to live here legally. They'll be allowed to drive here legally. That all puts them at the front of the line. The front of the line is to get into this country. There are people, millions, waiting around the world to come here legally. That's the back of the line. You ask them, hey, would you like to come here to America and wait to become a citizen? Or would you rather stay back in your home country before you can even come in? They'd say, oh, yeah, I want to get to America. I don't care about voting. Just get me there. I want to start working and making money and making a life for myself. That's the front of the line, is to get here. So, look, here's the thing on the whole illegal immigration thing, and the Republicans are about to cave on it. And we're going to end up saying the way we're going to help our economy is to import more poor people and reward the people who broke our laws. I have the utmost empathy for anyone who wants to come here and get a better life. I totally get it. I'm a first-generation American. But you have to do it the legal way. How is it that you supposedly have a right to come here and break our laws? You come in illegally. You work illegally. You take somebody's Social Security number to do it illegally. You drive illegally. And then we reward you after you say you demand your right to citizenship or to be here legally. Somebody explain to me how that works. And how is that fair to the low-skilled American worker? How is that fair to the legal immigrant? How is that fair to the millions waiting to become legal immigrants? And how is that fair to the American people? Yet, if you say you're actually for our laws that are on the books, you're called evil. You're called mean. You're called racist. That's the way they shut you up. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in. Oh, and here's the other one I wanted to get you to. There's a little fight going on between Rand Paul, Claire McCaskill, she's Senator Claire McCaskill from Missouri, Democrat, and the Clintons. And what Rand Paul said over the weekend, and he's doubled down on, is that here are the, I'll paraphrase for you what he's been saying. The Democrats are claiming that there's a war on women against the Republicans. And this is the party that continues to lionize Bill Clinton, to hold him up as this great guy, and totally ignore the fact that he was a serial philanderer and a sexual predator. And Rand Paul brought up again the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. Now, he said, now, look, I don't blame Hillary Clinton for that, but sometimes it's hard to separate the Clintons. And to that, Claire McCaskill was not amused. Wait till you hear what she had to say. She was on the weekend chat shows, and she's saying, hey, 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 hold on a second. How dare you go after my boy and my woman, Mrs. Clinton? And you know the reason that she's really into this? You got to remember, when President Obama was running, she came out for Obama, and this was after the Clintons had helped her become Senator McCaskill. And she made it onto the Clinton enemy list. Do you remember that article that came out? So she's trying to get back in the good graces. She's already come out for Hillary for 2016. She was one of the first ones to do it. And here she is, cut four, going after Rand Paul for him saying that Bill Clinton was a serial philanderer, took advantage of Monica Lewinsky, not Hillary Clinton's fault, but it's hard to separate them sometimes, and it certainly shows hypocrisy for the Democrats claiming there's a war on women by the Republicans. Cut four.
I think I can speak for most women to say that I found what he said infuriating. I think most women understand that they should not be held accountable for the behaviors of their husbands. You know, I think Rand Paul is grasping, you know, trying to show that he can be, you know, tough and win the presidential nomination. The more the Republicans keep talking about how somehow they've got it all figured out about women, the more trouble they get in.
So I think most women understand they should not be held accountable for the behaviors of their husbands. That's specifically what Rand Paul said. He said, it's not her fault. She's had to tolerate the same sort of problems from him over time. That was one. Another one on the Sunday chat shows. He said, it's not Hillary's fault. I'm not saying that. But it's the hypocrisy of the Democrats. So he said it wasn't her fault. And yet here's Claire McCaskill trying to say, well, I think most people know it wasn't her fault. But let's go beyond that for a second. Hold on a second. I want to ask you to do a little experiment with me. Pretend somebody's running for president on the Republican side who's a woman. I don't know, maybe, let's say, Sarah Palin. And we find out that her husband had something that some people refer to as bimbo eruptions. That he had women that claimed that they were having affairs with him while he was married. That he had several women complain that he sexually harassed them in the workplace. That he had two women complain publicly that he sexually assaulted them. And that through it all, Sarah Palin stayed with him and defended him and said that they were all making it up. That it's proven that they had people who were put in charge of handling the bimbo eruptions. Do you think that the Democrats might say this woman shows that she's not worthy of being president? This woman is not really a feminist. This woman is still standing by her man who's cheating on her. This woman would put up with a man who would do that to people? Oh, and by the way, this man took advantage of a 20-year-old intern. Do you think they'd just say, hey, you can't blame any of that on the wife, right? I mean, when you look at Hillary Clinton and what she put up with and what she knew was going on and continued to put up with Paula Jones, Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, Jennifer Flowers, Monica Lewinsky, and more and more and more that we don't even know the names of. That's not something that goes to her credibility, because the whole time this was going on, she lied to you too. Claimed she didn't know anything about it. Claimed it wasn't really true. Fast right-wing conspiracy. Really? Really? Do you think she was telling you the truth? Kind of like, I don't know, maybe Benghazi? You think this goes to her credibility? You think it's something that people should care about? What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. Oh, and by the way, when Claire McCaskill was running to be senator, she had a little something different to say about Bill Clinton. Let's hear cut five from Claire McCaskill in the Wayback Machine.
You're having Bill Clinton come in to raise money for you. Do you think Bill Clinton was a great president?
I do. I think I have a lot of problems with some of his personal issues. I said at the time, I think he's been a great leader, but I don't want my daughter near him.
I think he's been a great leader. I don't want my daughter with him. She apologized later for that. Yeah, just so you know. Apology came through. Mm-hmm. On the immigration, James wants to get on that. James, KCMO, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is the first time I'm calling, so I'm a little nervous.
No problem.
I was just saying to the call screener that I used to deliver around Kansas City. I see a bunch of people that are just standing around doing nothing. A lot of them are African Americans. And I just thought, why aren't these people working? Why isn't a lot of these people working? And I feel that if you do amnesty, majority of African Americans live in inner cities across the country. That's pretty much a fact. And a lot of the illegal aliens do also. So now not only will they have to compete against American Hispanics and American whites and American blacks, or in blacks, they'll have to compete with everybody that becomes free to stay here with amnesty.
Yeah, what you're saying is that this is going to hurt, amnesty is going to hurt the low-skilled job looker the most. And you're absolutely right. And it will depress wages. It absolutely will. Now, I want to clarify what James was saying there when he says a lot of places I go, there's a lot of black Americans standing around without jobs. From what I understood what he was saying, it's because they're having a hard time finding a job, not because they're lazy. And that's the problem. There is a huge unemployment problem with black Americans right now. And, yes, they are competing, the low-skilled wage earner, with the illegal alien. And it will get even worse when you give them amnesty. There are more white people, by the way, on welfare than there are black people. There's a higher percentage of black people, but there are more white people. So it's hitting across the board. But, yes, the unemployment rate is higher for black men. There's no doubt about it. And it's not because they don't want a job. You know, there's the other thing about this is the idea of welfare versus minimum wage. Mark wants to get on that in Yakima, Washington. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead. Hey, Mark. All right, I think we lost Mark. Let's go to Rick in Denver, because he wanted to chime in on this whole amnesty thing that the Republicans look like they're already caving in on. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, Greg. My concern is with John McCain, and he ran in 2010. He had I think as J.D. Hayworth ran against him in the Republican primary.
Right.
McCain, he came out to counter Hayworth, Hayworth's positions on amnesty by saying that he, McCain, was dead set against amnesty. He'd never support it. And lo and behold, the Bill of Eight, it's got amnesty in it. And I've never heard John McCain being held accountable anywhere in the mainstream media or anywhere else. There have to be tapes or video or audio of him taking me.
Well, Rick, wait a second. You didn't believe him, did you?
Well, of course not.
I mean, you know, this is John Amnesty McCain we're talking about here. But I understand your point. Here's the thing, though. John McCain and President Obama and the Republicans, Paul Ryan, Speaker Boehner, Eric Cantor, they're all on the same page. They're going to say, this is an amnesty. Oh, this is an amnesty. We're not giving them citizenship and for free. We're saying they have to pay a fine. They have to pay their taxes. They have to show that they've been here for a while. They have to do all kinds of things. This is an amnesty. Okay, now, wait a second. If I did something illegal and I'm forgiven for it, that's the definition of amnesty, right? Well, that's one definition. But I mean, you know, come on. That's not the... And if I'm applying to come here legally, don't I have to pay money to do that? Aren't there all kinds of things I pay money for? Well, yeah. If I come here legally and work, don't I have to pay taxes on that money that I make? Well, yeah. Don't I have to wait to become a citizen? Well, yeah. So how exactly is it different if I had come here illegally? Well, the difference is you would have been here 10 years already. Well, that's true. That was really stupid to wait. What was I thinking? And so, of course, you're going to get more of the behavior you reward, and it's the schizophrenic policy we've had for so long in this country. Hey, you're not allowed to come here illegally. Here's a job. Hey, you're not allowed to come here illegally. I mean, they talk about it being common sense reform, right? I mean, what could be more commonsensical than telling somebody you can't come here, but when you get here, here's a job? That's common sense. You can't come here and work without a Social Security number, so you can steal one. That's, hey, you're not supposed to be here, you're not supposed to work, but here's a tax ID number so we can give you an earned income tax credit. I mean, it's common sense. And what's more common sense than having somebody come here illegally, live here illegally, work here illegally, and then say, hey, we're going to reward you by letting you stay here? What could be more common sense than that? I don't know why anybody has a problem with it. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on. You know, it's not just the NSA that is spying on you and gathering your metadata. It's now the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Oh, you got to hear this one. We'll get to it in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Did you know that there is a petition now, the White House petition page, over 100,000 people saying it is time to deport Justin Bieber? Leave Justin alone! Here we go. So if you're here illegally and you get arrested for DUI, we don't do anything about it. But if you're Justin Bieber, you should be deported immediately. All right, just so we're clear on how this all works now. Okay, meanwhile, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says, you know what, NSA, we're not impressed. We can do this too. This was out of a committee hearing Tuesday, and they are admitting that they are conducting a massive data mining project. Richard Pollack reporting on this. It collects account information on 991 million American credit card accounts. There's only 316 million of us in the country. Holy cow. It was also learned at the hearing that they're working with the Federal Housing Finance Agency to data mine your mortgage. 53 million mortgages taken out since 1998. Now, they don't ask your permission to do this. You don't even know that they're doing it. They're doing it. They're compiling it in a database. Now, the concern, number one, is why should they have this information from you? The other concern is that people can hack into it and get all kinds of information that you don't want them to have. Oh, well, you know, come on, it's information we need. The revelations came in this hearing. The director of the CFPB is Richard Cordray. He was pressed about, you know, looking at your private information. Here's what he said. We're collecting aggregated information. He was defending the efforts. So Spencer Baucus, Republican in Alabama, said, can you, Mr. Cordray, personally guarantee the consumer information is 100% secure? No. Can't. 96 data points, including a unique card account ID number, zip code, monthly ending balance, borrower's income, your FICO score, your credit limit, your monthly payment amount, the days past due, all of that being collected. So Representative Sean Duffy, Republican Wisconsin, said, hey, would you object to getting permission from the consumers, you know, the people you work for, before you collect this stuff and monitor their information? His response, well, that would make it impossible to get the data. So you can't opt out of this. You're not allowed to opt out. Between that and the NSA, hey, what is there to worry about anymore? You know, who cares, really, if you're not doing anything wrong? That's the one I love. And they're even getting it from the Angry Birds app that you have now. But remember, NSA is only going after the terrorists. Did you know the terrorists play Angry Birds? How do we get... The terrorists are playing... The Angry Birds strap bombs to themselves. How does that Angry Bird game work? I don't quite understand it. Yeah. Oh, they love the Angry Bird game. This is your government. Your government spying on you in the name of protecting you. And if you have the audacity to challenge it at all, there's something wrong with you. The same government, by the way, that just overpaid $62 million for diapers last year. Because of a lack of competitive bidding from the states. $62 million overpayment. Hey, what's $62 million? It's nothing when we're talking about a $7 trillion debt. Come on. Hey, thanks for being with me. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage, the Savage Nation.